If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Last week, I was thinking about this magnificent relationship of parents and children, and I asked this question of God. I said, what makes a mother and a father love the child that comes out of them? You see, when children are little, they're a handful. And when they get older, they're a heartful. And my mother used to say, and between the two, you get on my nerves. There is no legitimate reason for you to love that baby when it comes out of you. You really don't know it. You spent 9 months with it, but you really don't know it. It aggravates you when it cries. It frustrates you when you can't party because it needs to be changed. It needs food on a regular basis. And if you're bold enough to breastfeed, it's sore. Gives you an uncomfortable size of your physiology. And you blame it on the baby. It's your fault I look like this. They are frustrating. They smell good as long as they're getting Similac. Then when they start getting food, they don't smell so good anymore. You pass it off. Here, take your grain. Take your godchild. Here you go. Praise God. But why is it that you love that? I'm going to use this term not to insult, but just as a point of reference. Why do you love that thing so much? Even as they grow older, they tend to grow away from you because they enter into the most dangerous years, teenage years. Teenage years, ooh, that's the evolution. It's the middle ground of all that you've taught and application. They don't start applying it till they get grown. All that you teach and application is interrupted by teenage years. It's teenage years where you want to kill them. It's teenage years where you put them out. Get out my house. But you welcome them back when they're 42. They lost their job. Their man has left them. They come back with kids. You got a return. You got some interest on your investment. Here they come. How's your daughter? Oh, she fine. Where she at? She living with me, child. And she came back with all them kids. But thank you, Jesus. But when they were 17, get out of my house, get out. I said, God, what is it? And the fathers, you don't even know, the child don't even like you. The mother has to say, go to your father, go to your father. And they're like, oh no. With mom, the saying mama is like a reflection of a good sound. Mama. Daddy is like dumb. Dumb daddy, dumb, 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 dumb. And I said, God, what is it about this? It just sprang on me. And I said, what is it? What is it? And God said, because that child is theirs. They own that child. They can't argue with the fact that that little bundle is them. And so they protect it, they nurture it, they love it, they care about it. They don't deny it. And nobody can bother them but the parents. You'll slap your child upside the head, but let somebody else slap them. The church where I grew up in, the church that I became a little older in, some lady said something about me. I didn't even know she said it. But I found out later, my mother found out about it. I was standing in the back of the church, and I was waiting for my mother, and she walked up. She saw the lady. She said, excuse me. She said, I had Eric. And if anybody says anything about him, it's me. She said, now you keep your mouth off my child. I'm standing there like, I'm 27 years old. But I let her have her way. And I thought, this is how God is. Once he puts his seed in you, he don't let the devil bother you. He may use the devil to build you. But ain't no weapon formed against you gonna prosper. No tongue that comes against you is gonna bring you down. No demonic force is gonna hurt you. No devil can kill you. God is not gonna let anybody else hurt his child because his seed You have God's seed in you. People say, oh, you look like your father. I'm supposed to look like my father. I got his seed in me. Not only does the seed make me look like my father, but it helps me to connect with people that are of that same. I went to preach at a gathering at a church. It was a Jamaican church. And they asked me to come and preach, and I went to preach at this particular place. And when I walked in, there was a wave of something that hit me. From the praise and worship, I thought it was the Holy Spirit. So I tried to settle in to the worship and think it was the Holy Spirit. But the tears began to flow, and they would not stop. I said, God, what is this? Spirit of God said, you're around your people. You started feeling something from being around your people because you got that seed in you. That's why when you get around Christians, they can lift you without them even knowing it. You can be depressed. If you get around miserable people, you're going to stay depressed. But if you seek out a believer, I was on Wyoming Avenue coming to Broad Street, and it was a Sunday, and I stopped at the light at 9th in Wyoming, and a lady walked up to my car. I rolled the window down. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, take me to church. I said, yes, ma'am, get in. I dropped her off at church. When she was getting out, I said, what made you ask me? She said, God told me to ask you because you were his child. R.W. Shambach tells a story that he was standing on a lady was standing on a corner, and he was walking by, and he said, excuse me, ma'am, praise the Lord. She said, glory to God, and they got into a shouting fit right on the corner. Why? That seed is in me. That person that's a born-again believer is my brother. They're my sister. There's a seed in me.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Listen to what he says. Because there's a seed in us, we cannot continue to sin. You grow out of sin. You grow out of it. As you become mature in God, sin is no longer necessary. Oh, make you want to holler. If you are still loving sin, hear me, you are not saved. I didn't say committing it. I said loving it. When a son or daughter of God sins, something inside makes them, oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. I got to get along with God and get this thing taken care of. This is beneath me. This is beneath. Oh! Now, watch this. We've seen the theoretical position of John, that one being filled with the seed of God enters into a metamorphosis of type. The nasty looking, hairy caterpillar, by some act of creation, not science, creation, enters into what we would call a coma. During the time of this coma, they secrete a liquid that fully engulfs them. Ultimately, it becomes a cocoon. While they're in the cocoon, one would rationalize that the caterpillar is dead. They're not completely dead. They're just comatose. While they secrete this God-ordained liquid, the cocoon is unrecognizable to you and I. We see it, but we don't pay any attention to it. And unless we are scientific theorists, we won't even hazard a guess
as to what's going on inside of it. But there is a metamorphosis taking place. Out of your eye, but under the eye of God, change doesn't take place so you can see it. I don't see the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Hear me. I saw the caterpillar, and I will see the butterfly, but I don't see what's happening in the middle. Some of us are in a cocoon right now, and what you were, no, everybody saw, but they don't see what God is doing to you right now, and they're fighting with you, and they're arguing with you, and they're looking at what you used to be, but God is... When the transformation is complete, the ugly, hairy, slimy caterpillar has the strength to break the cocoon. And out of the cocoon emerges the pretty butterfly. I've traveled in 33 states of this great union, in many countries in this great world. I've seen butterfly farms. I've seen butterfly exhibits, butterfly collectors. But in all of my travels, I've never seen a caterpillar farm. I've never seen a caterpillar collector. Never seen a caterpillar exhibit, because nobody cares about a nasty caterpillar but God. That's why he gave that nasty caterpillar the ability to become a pretty butterfly. Nobody cared about you when you were in sin. Nobody cared about you when you were a nasty, cigarette-sucking, liquor-drinking, prostituting sinner. But God sent his cocoon called Jesus and said, come die in me. Let me die for you.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
07316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invite you to our 2016 Holy Convocation, where people gather together to meet God. Our theme this year is based out of Mark chapter 8, verse 25. Second touch, regain your spiritual vision. Our guest speakers on Wednesday, August 10th, Bishop Keith Reed of Sharon Baptist Church. On Thursday, Bishop Maureen Davis, Open Door Mission True Light Church. And ending with our presiding bishop on Friday, August 12th, Eric Lambert, Jr. Daily agenda includes dynamic afternoon workshops, powerful praise and worship, edifying word from God, and a great time of fellowship. Each evening begins at prayer at 6 o'clock and service at 7 at the Bethel Deliverance International Church main campus, 2929 Sheltenham Avenue.